people like that. So thank you all for joining the meeting. And the first order of business is our minutes from our last meeting of June 25th, 2021. And it's in your calendar. It should be in your calendar notice if you haven't picked it out otherwise. Have a look at those. I'll give you a moment to refresh your memories and see if there's anything that needs to be adjusted.
Does anybody need me to share this on screen?
I suppose you could if you wouldn't mind. Saves us from fumbling.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Anita. A second, please.
I second.
Great. Thank you for the second. Any additions or changes? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, please say nay. And we've exceptions.
Abstentions.
Abstentions is the word. Thank you. Good. Okay. Thank you very much. So now on to chairman's remarks. So thank you very much for serving on this board, and thanks to Kathleen and the whole staff for managing this amazing organization, doing really seriously important work. We were just talking briefly about the importance of busyness in this time of weird anxieties. And so not only is it important work that RCOG is doing, but it's also helping lots and lots of people stay busy and pleasantly distracted from the world as it is. So thank you to the board and to the staff for all of that. I should tell the board that we had a review process for our executive director, Kathleen Moore-Lynn, a superlative, as you should all imagine, superlative review of her work over the past year. And she volunteered request not to have an increment, to sort of stay in line with the administrators of the rest of the university. She's, of course, in a different organization, so not bound by that, but I thought it was worth telling the board of that very civic-minded deed of our executive director. And so I offer my thanks to Kathleen for that. Thanks to Kathleen and the staff for managing all of the vaccine process. So over the summer, we had a mixture of testing and vaccination records uploaded. And then effective today, actually, we have a mandate for vaccination or reasonable accommodation. And so I don't have the figures yet on for the whole university. I should have that on Monday, but we've been doing pretty well on that process. And so we're also very pleased with the relatively low infection rate, very low level of apparent spread of the virus within the university or university activities. If you're curious about the numbers, our COVID-19 website on the main UOG tab, so you go to that and there's a dashboard that tracks it through the whole of the last year and a half, and you can see the months and the kinds of the infection. So we're doing reasonably quite well. I mean, given the numbers of people we have, I think we're doing very well. And it's been good to know that with the face-to-face activities that we've been having with RCOG all the way through the pandemic, and then since the beginning of this semester, actually in the summer and now this semester, we've had quite a few activities, classes and other activities face-to-face, but with a mask requirement and following all the procedures, the spread, it seems really, really low. And so what seems to be happening in the community is unmasked events involving typically eating and drinking. That's the danger zone. So we don't have that on campus. And I think that's the reason why we don't have any or much in the way of spread. So that seems quite good. Also, then thanks to Kathleen for her leadership in identifying grants that are kind of outside the ken of RCOG, but figuring out the Economic Development Administration grants, $8.6 million that she's secured, figuring it all out. And I think it's one of the great strengths of the university and particularly RCOG staff is the capacity to find out what grants are available, analyze them to decide not only can we get them, but is it worth getting? Right, because some grants, the kind of work that it takes to get it and the requirements once you get it are not worth the money that you get, right? It causes you to spin wheels that you don't need to, or that it's not particularly complementary to other elements of the mission. So this capacity to judge grants, finding them out, judging them, and then applying for them, successfully getting them, all that is an amazing capacity that we have, largely through RCOG, but of course, and Rachel Leon Guerrero's ORSP as well, and other pockets around the university. It's an unusual strength for an institution of our relatively small size. And of course, Weary and others who are here too, there are quite a few areas where people are able to make this judgment. So I try to emphasize in as many situations as possible that this is a real treasure for, certainly for the university, but for Guam and the region to have this capacity. And RCOG is really quite at the center of all that. And also Kathleen's been very helpful in helping us think through how to expend the HERF and CARES and ARPA funds that Anita and Randy have been managing to figure out how to do that. So that the judgment about making sure how to spend that money carefully and wisely has been important. Our marching orders on that are the first order of business is to make sure we get every penny we possibly can, then to make sure that we spend it here in Guam. And the third order of business is to make sure it's as smart as possible. So we want the money, we want to spend it. And then the third thing is we really want it to be smart. So thank you to Kathleen for her role in that and all the staff in helping to support and coordinate that. So that concludes my chair's remarks and report. Thank you very much for all that. And thanks again to the members of the board for your commitment to this work and support for it. So now I think we're on to the executive director's, the new business and the executive director's report, 4.1. Kathleen.
Thank you. And I do want to report that for you and the other executives to implement the deadline for either having your COVID vaccination record uploaded or your EEO accommodation letter worked. We have right now just a couple of people outstanding. One works off island, you know, one is new hire, wait, we just cleared her. So, I mean, there's just, it's just down from I had maybe 40 or 50 people. And now we have just a handful, two, three. Yes. So it's great. And if I never have to look at that form stack list again, I'll be happy. So thank you. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. And I know it was a hard decision for the executives, but I for one, really appreciate that decision. For the report to the board, we are currently providing support to 131 different grants and contracts. And this is a snapshot of activity from September. And so we are about $20 million worth of projects on an annual basis, a little bit more than that, and then $59 million for multi-year budgets. So there's two ways to look at that. And we have provided you with the whole list of grants that we are supporting right now. As of September 15th, we counted 179 employees, 96 are full-time, 54 are part-time, and 29 are students. Also, as of September 15th, RCOG is tracking a 34% increase in grant-related business activity compared to the same month last year. So we, right now, our expenditures as of the 15th were $12,789,000 $9.5 million. Compared to last year, it was about 9.5. So that's more than a $3 million increase. So you can imagine how busy everyone is here. I mean, it's just all pistons are firing. It's pretty amazing. Now, this is really, we're the support, right? We're HR and we're procurement and financial transactions. And so that is 34% higher than last year. I mean, that is amazing. So I don't know how many businesses can say that, but this is good. And of course, this is due to all of the PIs and who are going out to get these grants, like John and Cheryl and Anita with the HERF, and just everybody seems to be participating in this. Dr. Rachel and ORSP and all the activity that's happening under there and all of the grants that they really manage, and Rachel in particular is PI on several large ones. This is all such great activity for the university as a whole. And for us, we're just able to, because we can be efficient, to just support all that activity. And so we believe that we are going to finish the fiscal year with a small surplus. And we were so excited about that. But we're going to tell you where we think that surplus needs to go later on in the agenda. We also have been pushing grants under $35,000 to the UOG business office. Oh, here's Rachel. To the UOG business office. Because the small grants take as much time as the large grants, because you've got to check all the budget categories really carefully before you certify. And so this is really for the accountants and HR before anything happens. So, you know, we have done that. We've pushed several. And that really is to avoid burnout for the staff. I mean, basically we come in and say, good morning. And then everyone sits down and starts studying. So it is to just prevent burnout with the existing staff that we have and keep them on board. But of course, there are some exceptions to that. And we look at if there is one payment done at the end of the project, then we accept it. So we're looking at that. So, you know, we've had to turn away a small one from Yvette Paulino from Claret Ruain. And, you know, it's actually not a good feeling, but we have to do it because this house, we don't have any more space. So we're picking up two interns from SBPA to assist us and one work study. And so we have everybody on a schedule, so we don't have too many people in this office. So we're kind of at capacity here. So that's where we are. So I wanted to really thank everyone for posting the A&E RFP for the Wary Building and Nursing Annex. And kudos to our general counsel, Anthony Camacho, for his review, for the support team, Chris Mabaya at CARM Gumatautau, Rachel Kubuku, Facilities Glenn Leon Guerrero, and Sandra McAuliffe. I mean, that is a huge amount of work. It was posted in the beginning of September, and we're already getting some responses in. Everything has been done with OIT, and so we do have the link up there on the site. And so that's going smoothly, and it closes at the end of October. So we're happy about that. And I think I mentioned last time we had the grant application for the nursing annex contents, that $650,000, that was submitted on the 14th of September. So no, I didn't, I may have mentioned it, but we actually submitted it. Engineering will be submitted either today or next week. That's all ready to go. And so that's all of the equipment and the furnishings and the networking for all of the labs and all of the classrooms. We had a successful meeting with the Endowment Foundation where we requested for a straight out gift of $253,000 that would give us the match, 20% match from the Wary Building. And the finance committee seemed to support that idea. And so the finance subcommittee is Jesse Leon Guerrero, Dr. Wilfred Leon Guerrero and George Chu. And so I think with the three of them supporting it, I think it seems, okay, Anita's nodding. So we both had the same takeaway there, that they seem to support that. And we are just really working with Dr. Rachel, ORSP, you know, the SBPP, and everybody across campus to see how much of or how many of these federal dollars we can go after. So it certainly is a team effort for sure across campus with so many units. There's just a lot of money out there, and it's I think all of us feel like we should try and get as much as we can. There is an issue bubbling up, and it's going to come to general counsel. And so, as you may know, faculty are issued personnel actions or contracts from RCOG, and then they do their work, their grant work and activities based on those personnel actions or contracts. Bob Barber is the new union president, and he is advocating to have those activities go on the university UG1, thereby increasing the base pay for faculty, and then thereby increasing the retirement contributions. So this is going to come to legal counsel's desk. And for the record, I would like to say RCOG does not support this action. Yes, it's good for the faculty, but there are so many hurdles and odd things that we would have to deal with. I think that would really shut down RCOG's ability to hire faculty. Bob's other idea was that we contract with the university itself to hire the faculty. And I just said, good luck. I don't see that working at all. So anyway, Bob sees this as a salary issue. I don't see it as a salary issue. They were not hired for grant work. Faculty are hired for a specific thing. That is their base salary. So at any rate, that's my two cents. And I wanted to ask Rachel Leon Guerrero if she had anything to add to this conversation, because she has been having a few of these conversations with Dr. Barber.
Sure. Thank you, Kathleen. I think the other concern that we discussed is the fact that not very many faculty could actually avail to this benefit of having this additional pay added and contributing towards their retirement, because I think you would have had to have been hired back in before 1996, and you would have had to check off that box when you first got hired that any additional pay you wanted to contribute to your retirement. And there's so few faculty that actually are still around that could even benefit from it. So we just don't see that there's really to go through all of that effort. Good, like Kathleen said, good luck. I don't support it either. I mean, I want faculty to get as much as they can, but it just seems like so much hassle, just too many roadblocks, too many hoops to jump through. So that's my two cents.
Yeah. Thank you, Rachel. There are a lot of complications from changing our processes. And, you know, we are paying Social Security for, personnel actions not the contracts, but for the personnel actions. So we do pay Social Security on that one. So faculty are earning something. Although, you know, as Bob says, there's the windfall provision where they take away half of it. At any rate, that's that issue. And I just wanted to bring it up because it is going to come before you. I think Dr. Barber will push it. It's going to come to general counsel first. So that's just, I wanted you to hear our views on it. And of course, whatever decisions are made are made, but there you have it. And then lastly, I would like to introduce Michael Connor. There he is up there. And he is our new chief business officer in training. And Gloria Travis is his mentor, and he is learning the federal side of things. And Michael is a graduate of the University of Guam. He was in the Green Army as a student, and I remember him. That must have been back in 2008.
Yeah.
2008. So 2008. And so he also has a master's degree, and he is a really good fit. And as we say here at RCOG, this is, we're doing our part for diversity because we hired a man. So, Michael, do you want to say anything?
I'd just like to say it's nice to meet all of you. I'm really looking forward to, you know, the next several years of working with everybody here. And it's great to be a part of the team.
So, well, Michael,
we're very happy, and thank you, because the board passed the changes to the chief business officer position description, and we were able to bring him on. And so this is all part of building the next team when the original old team goes away. So that's it. And Bobby has really talked about leaving at the end of next year. Gloria will begin working part-time beginning January 2022, and I will leave in December of 2024. So we are laying the foundation for the next team to take over. And then the last thing I have to say is this team is really efficient, and they've proven it. I want to say thank you to Precious, because we moved her to full-time, and she is doing the Wery water quality lab transactions now and helping out on all kinds of levels. So I just want to say hooray to the team. And also, you know, we don't do this by ourselves. If we didn't have the good partnerships with ORSP and all the other research units and places like the School of Ed, units like the School of Ed, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So that concludes my report.
Great. Thank you, Kathleen. Welcome, Michael, and thank you, Precious, and everybody else, the whole team, for your great hard work. I think in the conversation about the compensation, thank you to Tony for looking at that. And I thought maybe either Tony or Randy wanted to make a comment or something. Did I see a flickering of interest? Did you want to say anything on that topic?
Well, no, I just think that I don't think the retirement fund's going to go for that either. So I think that's a dead duck from the beginning. If they get any wind that we're trying to put this extra extra pay in on retirement, I think they're going to flag it, and we may have a lawsuit with them.
And of course, we have a member of the board, don't we? Yeah, Ricky, you're on all the boards. Yes. Yeah, so member of the board of the retirement.
Yeah. You know, Mr. Chair, I was wondering if I could just comment on it too, because when RCOG was created by then Vice Speaker BJ, I remember I was working for Ben and he voted no on RCOG. I was working for him. But some of the reasons why were things like this, where there could be some subversion, because RCOG isn't subject to Civil Service Commission, or is it subject to government law procurement or open government law. So that I recall then Senator Ben's position on it and understood it. And I just copied something into the chat regarding this specific thing. And I subject to legal review, but it's my understanding that, you can't have it both ways. You can't be not on a pay scale and then also, and not be subject to civil service, but then get the benefits of retirement. So, I think that there might be an issue with that. And I'm not speaking on behalf of the retirement fund. I just really, as I recall, having been there at the time when RCOG was being discussed in the legislature, it was this very type of thing that was trying to be avoided. And so, I guess there might be some issues from a policy perspective, not necessarily from anything else. So that is just my initial take on the conversation, but thanks.
Great. Thank you, Ricky. Any other comments on that topic? Maybe Tony. No? Maybe not. There. Yes.
Yeah. I haven't. Okay. First of all, I don't think that RCOG contributes to the retirement fund, does it? I don't think that there's withholding. Yeah, and I think the reason for that is they're not subject to the civil service rules. So I'd have to research that issue when it gets to my desk, but I'm going to hold any, you know, say anything further until I look at what they're actually asking for and do a review. But immediately when they said, okay, somehow they're going to withhold for the retirement fund, that already is raising a few flags, and I'm going to have to review that prior to basically making a decision one way or the other. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Tony. And thank you, Ricky, for the posting too. Yeah, good. Any other comments on that topic or anything else from Kathleen's report? Okay, then. So let's see. The next piece is the, sorry, I have to call this up. It's so slow. The proposal.
This one here.
Yes.
Yeah.
There it is, the payroll services and UOG request to separate. Is that, yes, that one, and then the resolution for the employee handbook. Do you want to narrate those, Kathleen?
Sure. We had an issue within our system because, of course, those RCUOG employees are have pay Social Security. And so it was, there were some glitches within the system, and Liz at payroll would have to go through each line in her giant spreadsheet one by one and threaten to quit and do all these things. So we had a big meeting, and we tried to find some solutions, and there was various solutions. And basically, you know, we're the full grown adult that lives at home and finds no reason to move out because the food's good and the laundry's done. And so really UOG business office is saying you need to go and get on your own payroll. And so we, Michael actually went and got a couple of quotes so we could see what we were looking at. And we're looking at it about $10,000 a year, but this would mean that we would cause less stress for payroll. And what was happening is for the RCOG people, it would apply Social Security and then go to every other employee and apply Social Security to them. So it was just, it's our system, our current system cannot handle it. So we're looking at this, we're looking to start this in January. So we'll have, maybe have an ad hoc committee and have Randy and a couple other people take a look at it because this is what, where we think we're going to go. And you know, really, we have 180 employees now. We should probably do it. And so we're looking at cutting our own checks, direct deposit from there, doing the W-2s, Michael, anything else, 1099s, things like that. So I just wanted to inform the board because although we have another meeting in December, we will likely launch this in January. That's what we're looking at. And so it's another just part of growth. And so that's when I said, ooh, we're going to have a small surplus. We were, yay. It was about, you know, 30 grand. And so, well, there's 10,000 of that surplus there. And our insurance with United Educators went up $13,000 compared to the prior year. So our surplus sadly has shrunk because it is the intent actually, and it's, we are supposed to give back surplus to the University of Guam. That's the intent when RCOG was created. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that this is what is coming down the pike. And then do you want to move on to 4.3, the handbook?
Yes, please. So that was information. So the next one is an action item on the employee handbook. Yes, please.
Yeah. So we had this in June, and then legal counsel did not have a chance to review it before June. Some of the board members asked if he had time to review it. And so we said, okay, we'll revisit it in September after he has a chance. And actually, Anthony, I don't know if you have had a chance to review it.
Have you checked your inbox recently? Oh. Like the last 10 minutes? Just minor amendments, you know, where you cite a public law. I think I put the actual statute, and I think somebody forgot to put an and somewhere. Okay, so rather just it's grammatical, and but I approved the amendments as to their form and legality with those minor changes. Typically, you don't cite a from a legal perspective, you don't cite a public law if the public law codify, or, you know, it says we create, you know, 5GCA section, whatever. You cite the statute, not the public law creating it. So that was the only change I made. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you very much. I know you're extremely busy, so we really appreciate that. So with that then, unless there are any other questions, because that was the question last time, I think it was from Regent Diaz, who asked if it had been reviewed by general counsel. So if we can.
Right. So I make a motion to approve the employee handbook policy manual subject to the corrections per legal counsel.
Thank you very much, Pete. Thank you, John, for the second. Any further discussion on this action item? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. Abstentions? Thank you. The action passes. The motion passes. Other items for good of the order? Questions? Shout outs, compliments? My compliments to the board. Thank you all very much for serving on this. And it's one of the more satisfying meetings that I hold from time to time. So thank you very much to Kathleen and the whole staff for all the great work. And thanks to the board for supporting it.
And I will take a picture so we can have a picture of the board in our annual report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn then?
I'll move.
Thank you. Anita, a second. And I think, all right, all in favor, say aye.
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 Nay. Abstentions. Thank you all very much. See you at the next one.
Have a great weekend and stay safe, everyone.
Have a great
weekend.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Kathleen and team.
Kathleen, did you want to? Well, sure. Rachel left already, so it's okay.
I think what she wants to do is have a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, we signed up for two Thursday at 8:00. It's just, it seems to me like an easy fix, but we can meet it, I think, Thursday at 8:00 if Teresa is available Eastern Standard Time. Yeah. Time.
Ooh, right.
We're still recording.
Right. And the only thing is, like what I just said, because this is under $35,000, so I want to pay her one time when it's done.
Well, no. It's something else, actually.
I know.
That's what okay. We'll talk about it.
It's not your grant. It's not your grant. It's the other one she's applying for. Right.
Yeah, but I don't know why she has to run it through UOG, is what I'm saying. What's happening... And again, I don't want to waste your time here. Did you want to stop recording or?
Oh, yeah. How do I do that? Oh, stop recording. There we go.
Yeah.